June the 10th, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is the Ramadan session. Man and the universe as mates created for each other. Its timeless relevancy. Lecturer, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Muhammad addresses religious issues that deviated. So this helps us understand what was given before. You see, the prophet comes to address major issues in religion that came before and had gotten off track to correct the perception. Did you know from Genesis to Revelation, from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas, that these are great books? These perfect books, if you understand what I'm saying, oh, the Bible is not perfect. And a lot of what you got out of the Quran is not perfect either. Your perception is not right. But if you have the right perception, you will see the correct language and reading in the Bible is perfect. Not all of it, but you will find the perfect language in the Bible if your heart is right and you have the intelligence and the support of God. Oh, yes. You can find it in the Bible. Muhammad found it in the Bible. Oh, he didn't read the Bible. That is what you think. He did not follow the Bible. He did not know the Bible. The Bible was accessible. If it was not accessible, why did he say to Ali, his cousin who had a Bible, now this is an established hadith, he said. Ali, what's wrong with the Quran that I brought? I think he only wanted to caution his cousin Ali, may God be pleased with Ali, Raddihi anhum, Allahu anhum. Raddihi Allahu anhum. That's the traditional saying, meaning may Allah be pleased with him. So that is all. The prophet knew Ali was not going to convert to the Bible, Christianity, or Judaism, but he just wanted to caution him. All of us need to be cautioned when pick up the Bible because it is very, very stubborn and powerful as a deception as well as pure guidance. So getting back to the scene of the beginning of mankind and Adam, the Satan knew that he had to give the human being a new perception from himself if he was going to gain what he wanted to gain, and that is complete authority in the life of human society. That is what he wants. So that is what he aspired for. I didn't continue it, but perception is the major theme in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, from Al-Fatiha till Al-Nas, the last chapter of the Quran. Perception, certain visions, every eye shall see him. So quickly reflecting on the great issue of perception. In the Bible it says, and every eye shall see him. And the Bible talks about light and darkness, the world receiving light and then coming under darkness. And it ends with the whole world becoming light. So that's how Revelation ends, with the whole world becoming light. Everything from everywhere, there was light. It started on the throne, but it went out and filled the whole earth. And the whole earth was filled with light. So light is for eyes. The whole book is for perception. It is to grow the right perception in human beings, especially in leaders, so that the world of man would be established in the best way. Perception, isn't that what you go to school for? To improve your perception of things? Isn't that why you went to college, to improve your perception of things? Yes. Education improves your perception. Better or perception, and when our perception is better, the life is better. So you just feel so much better. So I'm sure the garden was not a dark place. I think it was a very bright, well-lit place, lit with the best of light. Perception, every eye shall see him. Why should it be said every eye shall see him? Isn't it enough to have our leaders see? No. God has put it in the very nature of every human being to want to see clearly, to want to understand. So you are burdened when you have a whole lot of knowledge and you do not understand it. That's a big burden. You are burdened when you hear a whole lot of preaching and you understand but a very little. That leaves you burdened. That is a big burden. Allah didn't create you to carry that burden forever. He created you to grow in intelligence and to grow in perception so the burden would be light. The balanced community. The balanced community now, I have to make some notes as I go to. The Satan had a plan, didn't he? Now, when you read in the Quran where it says, and they planned and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. Don't just hear that and say, that's right. And you are thinking in a little focus, a little small, unimportant, situation. No. When you read that, be aware that the greatest deceiver, Shaitan himself, the Satan, and that is his, and that is, he is the one who started everybody else to planning in a way to make trouble. And Allah is the best of planners. It means Allah is going to overcome Satan's plan. And when he overcomes Satan's plan, the rest of them are done away with automatically. Mr. Farad, I'm sure, liked his courage and great wit. He said, can the devil fool a Muslim? Answer, no, not nowadays. That day just arrived. Those days he was foreseeing, they have arrived. Most of what we perceive has been influenced by Satan himself. Here is the big problem. Our perception of the universe has been changed. What we perceive is mostly influenced by the Satan himself, even the way we read scripture. For after all, this was a man that God himself created and that God himself communicated to, and the Satan is talking to him to change his perception. So he is even influencing him that when he hears the word of God, Satan says, oh no, you didn't mean it that way. You should know how God meant that. So you can be free to do what, to do great things and rise up even with the God. Now, we know all of them are false except one. Again, I like Mr. Farad's wit. He told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, God means power and force. Now, we know that is not correct. God is much more than power and force, but that is what he wanted the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to say. Then he told or led the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to believe that the black man is the God. I guess that is what he was doing. He was checking that black man by giving him a definition for the God in the new language of W.D. Farad in the Nation of Islam, hinting. So the God I'm giving you is not the Most High, not the perfect, pure and just one. The God I'm giving you is power and force. Yes. So that is what I'm doing. And that is my nature, ever since I was a boy. That was my nature, not to preach so much, but to teach. The Quran, Bible, designed to help man on all levels. Along with his strategy, his word, his world grows. The more he progresses his plan and strategy, the more his world develops and grows. Now, the Bible says this. To save a lot of time, I'm not going to go and quote everything. You will get it later, inshallah. To save a lot of time, I'm just going straight to the point. But I'm telling you, the Bible and the Quran, both books have it. If it is a major issue, it is in both books. The Bible is the book of knowledge to achieve world dominance. So the Bible is designed to serve mankind on all levels, just as the Quran is designed to serve mankind on all levels. The people who are uneducated, the Quran and the Bible is designed to serve them. You read them, they serve you. You do not have to be educated. But the more your intelligence is developed and informed correctly, the more you get out of these books. That's natural. So what am I giving you now? You should write it down, my student, please. The Bible is a book of knowledge for educating the brightest minds and the most ambitious souls in the knowledge of how to achieve a dominance in the world or on this earth. That is what it's all about. I'm sure most of you know what a dominance is. Satan is a mindset. A dominance means you are in position to control everything. Everything is under your authority. Now, who wants that? Satan? Satan. He is the number one villain, the number one criminal. He wants that more than anybody, more than anything. He wants that more than anything, and I don't think of him as a person. He is no person. He is a mindset. And he can be communicated to any person, and that person who accepts that communication and starts to live by that, by it, and under it, that person becomes Shaitan. So now that this has been done, you can't look in the Genesis or in the garden only for Satan. Satan, no. You have to look in the whole world, because that is what he aspired to do, get the whole world. And you have to look at the highest places. That means you have to also look firstly in religion, because that is where he started. He started to change the way God wanted us to see and perceive religion. Now, would you believe people who perceive themselves to be angels, being human, that perceive themselves to be angels, held high this thing that they work to keep it hidden so they could get the benefit? Because they have knowledge of what is going on, so they could get the benefit of the existence of this thing. And it rules over the life of people for themselves. and they are not really Shaitan. So man fell from the noble position to material interests. Now remember who was the leader in the angels before God interrupted it. It was Iblis, a jinn, who had transformed himself an angel and was leading the angels in heaven. I'm giving you Quran, the word of God. And he ensured a disruption in the heavens, and the man that God was making in heaven had to be rejected and sent down to earth. Now don't think of the sky up there and coming down here. No. Think of high principles, high and decent aspirations, pure intentions, etc. Think of that excellence of the soul, and now there has come an interruption, a disruption in that heaven that I just explained to you, a disruption in the heaven that made man fall from his noble position to material interest that's coming down to earth, to material interests. And the Satan seduced him and brought him to fall. And the Satan was also in the garden. He was there as the leader of the angels. And God cast him down, rejected him, all of them, plus the man and his mate who were affected, had to be cast down. And they were cast down. Let's go back to perception. The problem is in your five senses, is in your deeds. So when the Satan confused their perception and had them by his perception of reality, that is what started everything. That is what brought them all to fall. And the word from our prophet, communicating to our prophet by the Lord, pardon me, creator of the heavens and earth, is Kubad. Get you down into the earth, Kubad. Kubad means all together, but it suggests like a feast. So where is the problem in your five senses and in your deeds? Because this hand has five fingers, and this is what I act with. And I start with high deeds, not welder, I like to use to do. It starts with writing, the hand that writes. It's over the welder in the establishment of the world. That is what I am talking about. The welder is small, how he was down here. So it started with writing. That is where the problem starts. Your five senses in your hand that writes. And as Allah says in the Quran, they write it and say, this is from God. Okay, you want to dominate? Get down into the material earth. And it is going eventually bury you, you greedy Satan. So to get man to go wrong, the Satan in the beginning of the Genesis invites him to look at the material world and see how great he can become if he thinks freely and not be hindered in his thinking by his fear of God. Look at the possibility that you have, man, to explore this material world and become very powerful, very productive, and live forever. I'm giving you a wisdom, and your rule will be in everlasting. It will not be for just one season. I'm going to give you an idea for a rule that will survive all seasons. That was his suggestion to Adam. That means to us, the people back then, and now and for all times. Okay, I think this is enough for that scene. You see where I'm going from scene to scene? Now we are on the dominant. I didn't forget the topic now. The topic is where we are going, Ummatin Wasata, the balanced community. In the Bible, there's language for educating the special and ambitious intelligence on how to establish a dominance is given in many places in Scripture. But I'm going to share this one with you in the Bible, the difficulty that a certain element amongst the Jews were having. Mind you, how I put that, a certain element amongst the Jews. Never think that Jews are a bad people. Jews are a good people, but they have been misguided themselves by an element amongst them. They have become loyal to an element that they do not know is the devil himself, Satan himself. I was happy to learn here recently that the world Jewry, world Jews, do not accept Zionism. They don't accept it. And they condemn Israel taking the position that God gave them that land. Now, this is world Jewry. It is on the web. You can find it on the web. You students who are serious about following my method or my school, you should get on the web and find it and see what they are saying. They say that there is no support for the establishment of Israel in the Torah, and they say that there is no support for Zionism in the Torah. That's the majority of the Jews. Quran never condemned all Jews and Christians, and the Quran never condemned all Jews. The Quran says most of them. The Quran does not condemn all Christians. Allah in the Quran says most of them. And we know that to be real right now. But Allah says that there is a part amongst them, a party amongst them, who believe in God and believe in promoting fair dealings amongst the people. And he says, let there be of you a party, a group, doing the same. The exact same thing that Allah, with his words, credited the Jews and the Christians for having a special group amongst them who are committed and loyal to obedience to God and establish the right way for man on this planet Earth, Jews and Christians. Then he tells us, you be a people. He the same, believe in God, and promoting fair dealings amongst the people. It's Lehen Beni Nas. That is the Quranic word in Arabic. So your mother was a Hittite, your father an Amorite. So we haven't changed the scene. The sense is still on dominance, achieve the dominance. So this reference in the Bible that I want to share with you that I saw, God bless me to see. It is about the crooked plan that the bad element amongst the Jews wanted to advance. Give this to the world because it is in the Bible. The Bible is not for Jews. The Bible is for all people who want to follow it. It is given to the world, and it is also clever. Most of us will never get it. Only God's mercy will help us get it. These are the Jews now talking to the Jews to make the Jews aware of their heritage in the best and the most powerful way. It says of the Jews, your mother was a Hittite, your father an Amorite. Now, I want to caution you when you research what I'm giving you, I'm sure that there is no source to give you all that I'm giving, that I've gave you. You can't find anything out there that will give you all that I gave you. God has blessed me. Special insight. I'm not exaggerating. And I want no attention for myself. Amorite is really a play on Abraham. Hittite were a people who were mighty. They were very powerful materially. And obviously, if they were very powerful materially, they had great science, great wisdom. But what we should know most importantly about them is that they were all about achieving a dominance, defeating all other nations, the Hittites. They became very mighty, very powerful. And the Amorites is a play on, really, on Abraham. The Amorites here, people who were compassionate, loving, caring about the individual person in society and trying to bring a people of theirs area to be a family people, caring about each other, loving each other. So the Amorites, you can hear a hint of the word amora, which in Spanish and Italian also means love. So the strategy is to have the leaders be Hittite-like and the community be Amorite-like. Can you see that today, presently? You have a Hittite and a people Amorite. Love, America is supposed to be a people of love. But the rule may be Hittite. This is reality. Asa prayer is the middle prayer. The balanced community. Do not forget what the topic is. The balanced community. Ummato wasata. And there is a prayer that is called by that term also, the midday prayer. The same word is given for it. Salatu wasata. That is the Asa prayer. Some think it is the noon prayer, but it is the Asa prayer. Because Asa means difficulty when you are going down downhill, and it is most dangerous part of the mission to go up the mountain and now come down. Going up is not as dangerous as coming back down because your tendency is to forget and you will end up tumbling, falling down, and be killed. You still have to be very cautious, especially if it is a steep mountain. And Asa refers to an incline that is steep, very difficult. And that's the trial of this world. When you are facing the trial of this world, it is very difficult. So you are trying to make your life comfortable, right? So that is going down to where ease will be found after the incline. It is so dangerous and difficult, the temptation is to maybe make some maneuvers that will not be too nice. You might say, Brother Shabazz, you go down ahead of me. And if you see him flip and fall, you know to walk around the area. So the temptation is to do something crooked. Too, sometimes. So you need to keep the balance that Allah wants for us. Swastika, a sign for Hitler of the axis of the universe. What does Allah say concerning these, those who have a desire for a dominant, he said, and who wants to corrupt or to have a dominant, he denies it. I mean, you might achieve it, but it is not approved by God. That means eventually he is going to bring you to judgment and take it away from you. So we want that to be clear before we go further with this. Now, the Hittites, their sign is like the swastika for Hitler and his followers. And what is that swastika? It is a cross. So that Hittite cross was like a letter Z, and they wanted to achieve a dominant. Axis is another cross. So you hear the president and those in the government now when they are addressing terrorism and problems with the Islamic terrorists or the Muslim terrorists, you hear them speak of the axis of evil. It is not the first time that they use that language. But now trouble for them in the world is bringing them back to use that language. So what is an axe? Another cross. So what is this cross? I have commended on the cross before, but now I'm giving you some more comments on the cross. So the cross is a symbol of universality, just as the Hittite sign. was a sign of the axis of the universe, the earth number one. Their sign was that we identify with all that you can perceive. So with your eyes and senses, then we are going to conquer it in your mind and dominate the world. That's the Hittite aspiration. And that is what they sought to achieve. And they did achieve a mighty government, a mighty people, a mighty nation. The senses and all, sciences and all. So Rab is the one who evolved mankind. So because a nation is advanced and sincere, that does not mean it has to be right. The small element is what all of us are suffering from, and that is what all of us have to make struggle, jihad, against. But you can't do directly at them. As I said, it is an ideology, and whoever is behind the ideology comes under the mindset and becomes one of the devils. It is plainly given in Suratan Nas, or Suratan Nas, chapter 144 of the Holy Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Kul Asa bi Rabbin Nas. Kul Asa bi Rabbin Nas. Say, I seek refuge with the Lord of mankind. Lord of mankind means the one responsible for the advancement of a long history or the human being in society. He is the one responsible for that, the Lord of mankind, who evolved you and brought you to your best development until you achieve the growth and the better condition that you have now. God is responsible for that. That is what Allah is saying when he says Lord. It is not the English word Lord. It is the Quranic word for Lord, Rab. Rab comes from the word meaning to raise children, to take them from birth when they are delivered from the womb and then raise them. New man has nothing to do. No man has nothing to do for caring for us. Well, science does, but it can happen without man and science. There are a few cases where we need the help of the hospital, clinic, science, and et cetera, for the mother who is pregnant. Most mothers, they know how to care for themselves while they are pregnant. And the baby is delivered and no man or human got into that work. So Allah created us in the womb or in bodies of our mothers. He created us. He created and still creates us in the womb of our mother, in the body of our mother. But when the child comes out, it has to be cared for because it can't manage for himself. It is totally dependent, right? So we take credit for raising the child, saying, oh, I did my best. And sometimes your best is wonderful. And people say, oh, you have such a beautiful and wonderful children. Well, the same care and devotion that the mother has for her child that God formed in her and delivered after 9 months, normally, Allah has that for humanity. All people, for all of his dependents. And his dependents are all living. All the life is created, or creation, or the dependence of God, Allah, the Creator. So Allah, when he says he is Lord, that is what he is saying, that I am responsible for you advancing on this earth. Without my help, you could not have done this. You could not have done it. So he is Lord of all the world. And the word for words comes from a word meaning to know. It does not suggest material things. It suggests a process for perception, a process for the intellect, a process for knowledge. Don't we say the world of science and the world of sciences? That is what Allah wants us to come to, understand. The common knowledge that we could not make the moon, the sun, the stars, galaxies out there. The common knowledge and where we should stop. But Allah wants us to come home to the bright light in that revelation to see that He is addressing the process of knowledge, science, education, and the life history of all humanity. As without Him, without an idea or a perception of a cause behind this universe, bringing it all to be and seeking to know what it is, and finding its consistency, its unity in terms of logic that holds all the universe, all matter together. If you had not arrived at that, you would not have been able to develop your sciences and progress as you have progressed on this planet Earth. Tawheed, one God, creation is one logic. So they arrived at the monotheistic idea of God is what made all that possible. And you don't find any people, any of the nations that didn't grow without the monotheistic idea of ruling and dominating things now. It is only those who embrace that monotheistic idea that I explained to you that you should understand as Tawheed in its completed meaning and picture form. Wahid, that means oneness. The idea of oneness in Islam started with one cause or one factor bringing all of it about. God the Creator. Plainly speaking, it started with God the Creator. Then it goes to His creation, and then we accept the witness that His creation is one, consistent logic, holding the whole thing together. Then we progress from that premise to man's life and say, yes, that man is one life and should be one family and one community. Kana nasu, ummatan, wahidatan. Kana nasu, ummatan, wahidatan. All people were once one community. In the beginning with Adam, and if we perceive it, that means we were all subject to our nature. We all had the same makeup in our bodies and in our minds to start with. So we were once one people. And they did not differ until knowledge came to them. And then one boasted of his little knowledge that he was able to grab, see, and understand, and they started separating. So the black man, he didn't even see any knowledge. He was just affected by knowledge. And he started aspiring, Imam Muhammad. He brought us to the Quran and the Sunnah. In other words, his job is through, as far as I am concerned. His leadership, as far as I am concerned, is finished. He brought us to the Quran and the Sunnah. But now, brother, I'm going my way. Well, that is the way life is. You have to accept it and keep striving, because if you take up too much time with that brother, he'll hold you back. Our time is too precious. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to do nothing to him except say salam. We don't want to do anything to him except say salam. We don't have the time to say as-salam. If you are confronted or happen to encounter the ignorant people, say to them peace. You don't have time to say as-salam alaikum. No, say salam and keep going. On the cross now, it is a symbol or sign of universality. Universality in what? Universality in the pursuit of correct perception. universality for the mind, the intellect, that wants to know and wants to search and wants to create and build universality for the sciences, universality for the thinker, the philosopher, for the scientist, universality for people who want to improve upon human society. So you hear the expression double cross. That is what Satan did to us. Allah made our nation to be the right balance. The prophet, peace be upon him, said, Kul, annatu festikun. Kul annatu festikun. Festikin, pardon me. Say, I have believed, and thereafter be upright. So the balance that God created in our nature for us is upright. And actually, every human being evolved to stand up erect. And all you have to do is raise your arm or a level with your shoulders and you form a cross. So the cross also is a sign of the uprightness, the balance that Allah created us for. And obviously Satan, wanted to deprive man of that balance in his nature. It was lost when he refused God's plan for human beings. Because Satan was cast down and told to do what? Bite the dust. Crawl on your belly. That's where your problem is, in your stomach. So what you're going after is going to pull you down upon your stomach. And you are going to have to crawl on your stomach. Your stomach will be your leg. Certain skin is his means of transportation. And another thing, strange about that creature called serpent. He has no legs and he moves so spookily around the ground. He will spook you up. He just moves so easily and swiftly with no feet, no legs. His outer skin is also his arm. Pardon me. His outer skin is also his means of transportation or transporting him. Yes. I don't want to take up too much time with this thing. I want to stay on the course, but that is food for thought. He is silent and he moves in a very spooky way. And I don't care whether you are a tough man or not. Women, right away, they accept that they are afraid of snakes. But some of these macho brothers, they want to pretend they are not afraid of anything. But if you wake up at night, or in the daytime, man, and you see one of those big snakes moving around, buddy, you are going to be frozen. So cross, a sign of original state that Allah made the soul to be in. So the cross is a symbol of great advancement. The original state that Allah made the soul to be in, but it is also a symbol of great advancement in the world, that you have achieved balance. Now, the ancients also designed the scales that you weigh things in to be a likeness or a symbol for the natural balance that should be in human beings. They designed that scale with a vertical rod, like a little small pipe, a board, and then they suspended a chain or rope from it, and two cups, two pieces to hold weight. They still have those scales around. And you can find them somewhere. In fact, I don't think there is any scales other than that. It is our oldest of scales. So you know how much one weight is that you have this, that is maybe 1 pound, 5 pounds, or a different pound weight. So you put the known pound weight piece on one side, and then you put whatever person is buying on the other side. So if they are buying navy beans, then you put enough navy beans on the other side to balance that weight. Once you balance it, then it is accurate. So if it was 1/4 pound, or 2 pound pieces on the other side, when you balance it, you have 1/4 or 2 pounds on whatever on the other side, balance. So that is the old scale. Adam is not flesh, but soul. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. In the Bible, it is a man after Adam. He is called the second Adam in Christian theology. And the Bible established that. It says, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And it goes on to connect persons in his past who were supposed to be related to him or he descended from. It goes all the way back, naming different persons in the history. And lastly, it says, an Adam who was created by God. So his family, line, or genealogy goes back to Adam. And they take it back to Adam to say that his father was Adam, and Adam was not born or male or female. Adam was created by God. Adam is soul. So therefore, if you understand, brothers, students, his father was not male because Adam was both male and female. And Adam is not flesh, meat. Adam is soul. So he created his genealogy back to Adam, and it says Adam was created by God, meaning that whatever happened in between has no real importance in Jesus' life. It was not those in between who produced Jesus. It was a right, correct, that produced Jesus, the soul that Allah himself created for all human beings. Jesus is a symbol of the cross of balance. So he is himself, a symbol himself of the cross, isn't he? In his perfectly balanced soul and nature, he is a cross, a universal symbol or a sign that communicate great insight. Then they took him and put him on a cross, and they fixed him on a cross so that he had no mobility. They stopped him from having any mobility. So the cross that Allah put us on is mobile. It is flexible. I can come out of the balance to do its work while spiritually obeying the balance through physical, the movement, or out of balance. But they are coming from a spirituality that is still in the perfect balance. So his deeds are balanced. His works are just, honorable, because he is respecting the check in his nature that is internal, so he can perform all of these. All of these activities are formed from the core that is formed from the balance. So the actions are good. The deeds are good. The works are good. Everything is good that comes from him, because he's conforming from his correct balance and nature. So you don't have to have a physical picture. Understand that spiritual picture. Now I know where I'm going. Be patient like I am. Jesus is also a sign of this great knowledge, this great science for achieving a dominant. So they made him a sign holding their secrets for achieving a dominant, and that is why we don't accept the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They neither killed him nor crucified him, but it was made to appear that way. People perceived that, but it didn't happen. That's how they perceived it, but it didn't happen. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. So we are talking about the balance now. It is said of Jesus Christ, because he had the upright nature just as God gave it to the world in the first man, Adam, before he was deceived. He is the model figure now, the sign to the world of how man is to achieve the perfect government or the perfect rule for mankind. And it says in these words, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Shoulders are balanced. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Yes. He will be able to counsel governments, not talking about people only, mainly governments. He will be able to console or counsel governments, give them the best advice, help them solve their problems that are in the way of their progress, etc. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. So when we read in the Quran that God has given us a balanced community, that is an answer to that promise in the Bible that the government should be upon his shoulder. That is that wonderful community that Allah gives us in the Quran, Ummatan Wasata. There is a hadith that they say goes like this. Jesus Christ is coming back, and he is coming back with a mighty sword. He's going to swing it, and it is going to be so big that he is going to swing it, and it's going to reach everybody on the planet Earth. And it's going to slay the wicked and break the cross. Break the cross. And Prophet Muhammad said, do not break the cross. That is what he told his followers. And when they would fight in a war, he cautioned them, don't destroy the sacred things of the Christians. And he said, according to the hadith, the report, do not break a cross. So break the cross means break the code and get the secret. Now, how do we understand this hadith that certain religious groups in Islam make a big deal of? How are we to understand that the cross is going to be broken? He broke the code and got the secret. That is the way it is going to be broken. You break the code and bring out the secret. So you are not going to church and break those sacred emblems and things they have in there. There is no Christ Jesus coming back with a sword long enough to go around over the planet Earth, lay the wicked and break crosses and stuff like that. It was in my Dianetic life. When I was a minister, don't let me spook you up now. I am a rational man. So when I was a minister for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Philadelphia, he had just sent me there. I wanted some flyers put out, and I had not heard this hadith about the cross being broken. But I knew subsequently, I guess that the cross was a problem, so I decided myself I could always write and draw. I designed a cross and gave the brother and said, go and have leaflets put out like this. I designed a cross that was leaning like the cross in the story about the black man who had compassionate on Jesus when they were taking him to the place where they were going to crucify him on the cross. And they were making him carry his own big, heavy cross, big, heavy thing. And this black man in the crowd got so touched and pained by the suffering of Jesus, he ran and got under the cross. So this is the story. And he helped Jesus carry the cross to the place where they were going to crucify him on it. At the time, I was not thinking of that because it has been. Since then, I saw a movie where this black man came and he supported the cross so Jesus would not have to have too much of a burden on him. So I had it like that. The cross was leaning like it had fallen over and I had it broken. So the vertical piece was broken but still being held together by a little bit of the wood. But it was open as an angle like that. There was jagged edges showing it had been broken. So I did that as a young minister. And now in this life of mine, over 70 years old, God has shown me the real cross and the real meaning of breaking the cross. Praise be to Allah. And the kingdom should be upon his shoulders. Man wants to achieve the ideal government, and he wants that government to be compatible with human creation or human nature. So the side of the human as the balance is communicating or broadcasting that knowledge, that this government is going to be compatible with the natural urge in the human life. And it shall be supported by the natural design, by creation in the human life. That is what is going to support it. It is going to be balanced upon that. So when Allah says to us, it is the religion of origin for human life, it is Adam's design, the natural man, nature and design. It is religion or origin, the one upon which pattern all human society. All human society are patterned on this original pattern. God put it in the life of the individual person. Now, when we read our government language, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. All men have the same creation as created by God. That's what it is saying. As created by God, we are all the same, equally equipped for what we have to do on this earth at birth. That is what it is saying. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by, or before it didn't say creator. They added that later, very recently. It just said endowed with certain inalienable rights. Among these rights that you can't take away, no government has the power to take it away, take this away. Liberty means the right to develop your mind. This comes with human creation. Government has not the right or the power to take it away. And among these, life, liberty. Life means the right to live, to have a life. Liberty means the right to develop your mind and have progress for your life. And the pursuit of happiness is to own property. So this is how they interpret it. This is how they established for the language to be interpreted in the Constitution of our United States. The judge and whoever are going to be acting as authority with the Constitution, they ought to have that understanding. But Tira means he originated. Well, the same thing is said up to us. Din ofitra lati patira nasiha aleha. The religion of origin nature, or the religion of the original design or pattern, the one upon which God formed all nations, all people, originated, not just formed. Fatira means originated. Fitra means the original pattern. So Fatira means he originated it. He formed for the first time society upon that original pattern. So that is the only way man has evolved. He has evolved upon best, with the best of his nature. He has used his intelligence as it has been created or given to him in his original life by nature. And he has respected the best of that life, the excellence of his own life and development worlds, because of his respect for the design in his nature, the best design in his nature. Come back to the innocent, pure life. So that is how man formed the world, formed society. And we have signs and symbols of signs and wisdom in Jesus Christ and in the cross and in the crucifixion. And we have clear language in Quran. So to have this beautiful world that our souls hunger for and search for, we have to be connected with the best of our creation or our design as humans. That's Allah, our creator, gave us. So we have to come back to that innocent, pure life that has no bad motives, no bad intentions. So the world went wrong when Adam went wrong. In the Bible, it says that the father has to be brought back and connected to the children and the children with the father, reconciled. If it doesn't happen, the whole earth is going to be hit with a curse. So this is what the Bible says. Now, I don't know how a preacher would comment on that to his congregation. He might think that the Father is God. He might say the Father is Jesus Christ, that we have to accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God. He might say that, though he is the Son, not the Father. But it is simple, as plain as day. The world went wrong when Adam went wrong. And Adam is a universal type representing the common life that God wants in all of us, that we take an interest in this creation, because he charged Adam with being a caretaker. There was no houses like we understand them. There was no building, streets, and cities like we understand them. So what was he to be a caretaker of? What was he being held responsible for? The natural environment. So he created man, firstly, to be responsible in the natural environment, responsible to Creator. In the natural environment, God said, whatever is in the sky, I made to come down and yield its benefits to you. And whatever it is in the earth that I made, it is to yield its benefits to you all people. So that is the Adam that we have to reconcile with. If not, all of us are going to be cursed down here on this earth. You have to come back and get the mind of the first man, get the heart of the first man, male and female. You have to come together in that posture and in that position as the caretaker, custodian, khalifa, responsible for the environment, to your wife, responsible to your children, responsible to your community. You are supposed to be a developer. Allah put Adam in the earth to be a developer. And that is how he became the one qualified to teach even the angels the language, even their own names. And even in this day and time we are living in, the developer is still more Adam than anybody else. That preacher is not Adam. The typical preacher is no Adam. After the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, get some of this good earth, and said, take responsibility for your own community and build things. These preachers now are trying to build homes, and they are doing a lot of good work, but they didn't do that before. So now they are becoming little Adams, little developers, and that's good. I like that, and we like that. So Muhammad was taken up into the heavens. So, well, we are about to close this out. So it says they have to be reconciled with their father. Muhammad was taken up into the heavens or on the ascent, and the night travel, the first level that he witnessed, as he was rising on, the ascent of the human soul was the level upon which it greeted Adam. He said, peace be unto you, my father Adam. And he was taken up to a second level. There were seven levels he was taken through. On the second level, he saw There, Jesus Christ sent John the Baptist. I'm saying it in the language of the church. He saw Jesus, Isaiah, and John, Yahyah. He said to them, peace be unto you, my brother Jesus and my brother John. And then he was taken up to a third level and witnessed Joseph, Yusuf in the Quran. And he greeted him likewise, my brother. But on the first level, he said, my father, Adam. Then on the second level, he said, my brother, to John and Jesus, Yahya and Isaac. And then he went to the third level, and it was his brother Joseph, Yusuf. He said, my brother Joseph. And he went to the fourth level, and he greeted him, my brother Idris. Then he went to the fifth level, and there he witnessed Aaron, the brother of Moses. And he greeted him, peace be unto you, my brother Aaron. And on the sixth level, there he witnessed Moses, who was higher than Aaron, of course. And he greeted Moses, peace be unto you, my brother Moses. And he finally arrived at the seventh level, and there was Ibrahim. And he said, peace be unto you, my father Abraham, or Ibrahim. From there, he was taken on the travel. So it was an ascent. That's vertical, isn't it? He went straight up from where? He went straight up from the Kaaba, from the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, and to the heavens. So the vertical mustaqim is the place, path of uprightness, the development of the soul, and virtuous purity and high principles, etc. So this is the ascent. Then he traveled. That's horizontal. Now you tell me there isn't a cross. If the ascent is vertical and the travel is horizontal, you have a cross. So see how the mysteries are addressed in so many ways to educate the blessed ones. Praise be to Allah. So the horizontal is an important relationship that man has with man, family has with family, industry has with industry, community has with community. That's the horizontal. So he was taken to the place that was the symbol of the glorious time for the Jews, to Jerusalem, where there was the kingdom of Solomon, and the ruins are still there. When they go to the Wailing Wall, they are weeping on what is left of that great kingdom. What are they weeping for? We lost it. Enemies conquered us, not the Muslims. Before the Muslims, it was the Romans. Really, the Muslims did not want to conquer them. The Muslims never wanted to conquer them. The Muslims just wanted to have their rights. Like they wanted to have their rights. So Medina established after the ascent and the night travel. Allah took him to the great peak of excellence in his life of those people symbolized as the government under Solomon, the wise, upon him be the peace. And you know what happened? Later, almost right away, he decided to go to Medina to answer the invitation of the people of Medina. And with that experience and knowledge that Allah gave him in that ascent and that travel night visit, he was prepared to go and establish the first Muslim world in Medina. It was a world he was to establish. So he went to Medina. We say government, but it was a world. It was a new world. He went there to Medina, and he became the leader for the establishment of the Ummah, the new world of Islam. Jesus, Muhammad, excellent from their original nature. Salakallahu Dadeen. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bay. Just bear with me. I want to complete this and so that we next week can go into the tafsir of the Imam Waqti Muhammad in the Quran. So just give me another few minutes. Jesus Muhammad, excellent from the original nature. So he had the first to be and the excellent that Allah created for all of us. When he created Adam, Muhammad was in that excellence. Jesus and Muhammad are to be seen together. He said there will come a time when the world will see them together, Jesus Christ and himself. So he, Prophet Muhammad, said that peace be upon him. So we are to see them together, most importantly, and that Jesus Christ did not get his human excellence from the environment that he was born in and lived in. He got his human excellence from his own original nature that man is not to be given credit for because it came directly from his original nature, kept for him, preserved for him, and communicated to him by his creator, God Most High. Yes. And the same is for Muhammad, although Muhammad had a mother and a father. Muhammad had a mother and a father, but in actuality, it had little importance in his coming up because his father died before he was born and his mother died when he was yet a child. That would be like his first year of elementary school, so he had not had parents and is more like Adam. Isn't he? He had no mother and no father to take over his life and care for him like Adam. Adam had neither father nor mother. And Christ Jesus did not have a father, which is perfectly understandable. Allah doesn't reveal things to man that he cannot understand. You just have to grow in knowledge and experience so you will be able to digest what is not for children, but is for adults. Jesus is a sign of where man is to take his life. So in the closing of this session, we come back to the individual, Christ Jesus, as a prototype for all people and as a sign. He is a type serving as a sign pointing to where man should take his life. The man should live on this earth to establish it and have a great society. And Muhammad is actually the human guide guiding his followers to that. Allah says that he evolved the kingdom or the throne, the rule over people. He caused the rule of a people to come whomsoever he pleases. He revived it, meaning it is not going to stay with one people always. His covenant will not stay with any one people always. And the rule of a society that he approves of will not come to any one people and stay with them always. No, it revolves, it goes from one to the other. But if you understand this word in Arabic, it does not suggest revolving at all, but the natural order of creation and development that Allah inspires when it is lost. To come back, it is like a revolving. But what is it revolving around? The earth and around the geographics of the earth. Yes, it does that. But it might back up that way. That way, it might come eastward or westward to Africa. And it might go back to other ways, through Asia, or some people in Asia. So we can't see it that way. You can't see the revolving in that way. It revolves from the original man back to the original man. So it starts with the original man, and it goes from him to the philosopher, to the nation builder, the commercial order. And that is what has the throne right now in America, the commercial order. They have the rule. So it revolved, but where did it come from? How did it get started? It started from the original man, from his original nature. and his purpose on this earth to develop matter, to develop earth or land, etc., in accordance with God's will that is imprinted on his very nature. God's will is imprinted upon his very nature, upon his very biological flesh, etc., constitution. God has inscribed it inside him, and it manages to one day come to his conscience, and he begins to progress this planet Earth. Father Kalahu Dadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Day. We thank Allah. We thank New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, Mirage Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. We took more time than we normally would be. I wanted to continue this, finish with it, so that we can start next week on the Tafsir of Imam Waqi Muhammad. So once again, thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us, and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.